Okay. Well, first, I want to thank Michael publicly for filling in my absence Sunday. I appreciate that. And we're going to continue with our with the subject of worry. And we're going to spend most all of our time, in fact, talking about things that we need to do to overcome worry. And I believe probably Sunday in your discussion in the class, worry was defined, and we were really talking about worry that seems to overwhelm us and cause us to lose our focus. It becomes us. And so we're not talking about a concern over somebody driving from College Station to Houston, you know, or something like that. But we're talking about worry where a sin's involved, because worry can become sin. And worry is due to the fact of our lack of faith, in God. And so what do you think one of the first things one has to do in order to overcome worry? What do you think they have to do? You don't just wake up one morning and say, "Hey, I'm not worrying." John?
We need to spend more time in the Bible reading.
Yeah, exactly. You need to increase your faith. Increase your faith. Faith is worry is due to a lack of faith. Right? We worry about something because we're not sure. You know, we're not sure where the next meal is going to come from or whatever it is we might be talking about. And so we worry because we have lack of faith. And where does faith come from? Yeah, specifically Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, doesn't it? That's where our faith comes from. And we've said a number of times in this quarter that what we need to do more of is read our Bible. And that is what's going to help us overcome these things that would hinder us in this life. If we would just take time to read our Bibles. So Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And I am reminded of what Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And this is beginning in verse 14. And this is a passage that we can have assurance in. This is a passage that says when we read our Bibles, we're going to be better. Paul wrote Timothy and said, "You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. All scripture is inspired of God." Inspired of God. "And is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." That's how the Bible serves us if we'll put it to use. Billy, did you have something?
This is a guide for living life, to be pleasing to God, and to tell about God. It tells us about why we're here and what we need to do. And it's just a guide for living life. And we need to live with it. We need to spend time in it.
We do. We all do. And we need to all ask ourselves, and you may already spend a lot of time in the Bible, but you still should ask yourself the question, am I spending enough time? And is the time that I'm spending, is it quality time? You can spend time. You can spend time reading. But is it quality time? Is it quality reading? Faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17. God's word is inspired. And Romans 8 and verse 32 talks about God. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? He's given us everything that we need in this life. He gave us his son. What else is there? I mean, you know, the clothes we wear, the houses we live in, the food that we eat, that's nothing compared to his son. He talks about what he does. He uses the lilies of the field. They toil not. The birds, they don't work. How much more important are you than the birds of the air? The creature that's made in his own image. We don't have to worry. We've got to have faith. We've got to have faith. Philippians, Paul says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9 that he's going to supply our every need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Who anybody in the room ever done without? Who's done without? Done without things you want? Sure. Done without things you need? No. You know, I can remember when I was much younger. I didn't escrow taxes in my house in my house payment. I paid them once a year, and I always, for lack of a better term, worried about whether or not we were going to have the money when it came January 31st to pay the taxes on the property. My entire life, I've done that. And we always did. And it really wasn't anything that we looked toward, but it's just, I mean, we looked toward it, but we didn't, I don't know that we, it was just there. Come January 31st, we had the money to pay for it. And there's a lot more serious topics to talk about than paying your taxes on your house at the end of the year. But the point is that we never did without. We had it. We always had it. We always had a place to stay. And, you know, if we were out of work, you know, anybody ever changed jobs? It could be stressful. You know, you walk in at the end of May of 2002, and you tell your wife you've quit your job. Yeah. What are you going to do? I'm going to be a school teacher. When are you going to teach? I'm going to teach in August. You see. And then along comes a buddy that says, you need to call so-and-so. And so I called so-and-so and left a message on a Friday afternoon, because I didn't want to talk to him. and I knew he wouldn't pick up his phone. So I left a message, and Monday he called me back. And I ended up working there for 25 years. You see, the Lord takes care of his people. It was nothing to worry about. And you know, I'll just say this about worry, and maybe I'm different than a few folks, and maybe I'm not so nearly as different as I think, but my mother was a two-time cancer survivor. She had breast cancer when she was 37 years old. And again, in 1987, the year Susan and I got married, she wore a wig because she had a reoccurrence. And she said, "You don't worry until there's something to worry about." You see, there's nothing to worry about. And I was raised on that statement. And so you just don't worry until there's something to worry about. And really, it kind of puts things in perspective. At least it did for me. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 that no temptation has overtaken man, but God is faithful, who will not be tempted beyond that you are able, but will with the temptation provide a way of escape also, so that you may be able to endure it. So it doesn't matter what trial comes our way. The Lord God has given us a way of escape. Our difficulty is seeing it. Is seeing the escape. And there's other things that get in our way of seeing the escape. This is how all these things that we're talking about this quarter are so tied together. But pride gets in our way because we're embarrassed. When if we didn't let pride get in our way, we could talk to others about the difficulties, the trials that we're experiencing, and what are they going to do for us? They're going to build us up. They're going to build us up and support us and help us to get through that. And so see, all that worry that we spend, all that energy that we spend worrying about the issue at hand is gone. It's eased. You know, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Peter's talking about what we need to do. And he says, casting all your anxiety or your worry on him because he cares for you. Who's him? There in 1 Peter chapter 5. Who's him? God. And how do you cast your cares upon God? How do you do that? Excuse me?
Prayer.
Exactly. Prayer. No trick questions. So two things that we need to do to help us overcome this worry is increase our faith. And we increase our faith by reading God's word. And then prayer. Prayer to God that obstacles in this life might be removed, that I might not worry, just plain and simple. Help me not to worry. If you have a tendency to worry, help me not to worry. Paul in Philippians chapter 4 told us to be anxious for nothing. But Philippians 4, beginning in verse 6, says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." See, I wonder if we pray enough. We pray at dinner, at the dinner table. We pray before we go to bed. Do we pray when we get up? Do we pray in the middle of the day? If you want worry, and for that matter, any other sin that we've talked about this quarter, that's what you'll do. You pray. You look at 2 Kings, 2 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 19. And this is an account where Hezekiah is king of Judah. And he's just gotten word from the king of Assyria what he's going to do. Sennacherib was his name. And he's sent his forerunner to Hezekiah and told them what the king of Assyria is going to do to them in chapter 18. And Hezekiah became worried. And what did Hezekiah do? But Hezekiah in verse 14 took the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it, and he went up to the house of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. And then he began to pray. That's what he did. He had a problem. He became anxious and he prayed. And so now he's no longer worried about that, because the Lord, through Isaiah, came to him and told him what was going to happen. So, increase our faith, pray. What else can we do? We've already talked about, in fact, we've mentioned. We can lean on a friend, can't we? You know, we talked about what friends are and how many friends we have, and we really don't have that many friends, the friends that we're talking about. So we can lean on our friend. What relationship can you recall from the Bible between two people that was the type of friendship that we're talking about right now? Can you think of one? Jonathan and David. That's exactly right. Jonathan and David. Jonathan, the son of Saul, and David, Saul's replacement. And the relationship between Saul and David was not good, but yet the relationship between Jonathan and David remained good. And so that's the type of friend that we're talking about. And this went even after for David, this went on even after Jonathan's death. You turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 4, and it talks. We're talking about two people and the importance of two, and Solomon talks about two are better than one in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 9. Says two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. So when I read that, I think about people who believe that they can get through this world all on their own. Maybe they can, but I doubt it. Because there's that falling that's going to take place. And then they don't have the relationships that they need to have, that they should have, because they just don't need that association. They just do it on their own. And there's nobody there to help them along. You know, that's one of the benefits of being in the church. I can call Eric, I can call James, I can call John or Reuben, Billy. And I can ask them a question. I can talk to them about things that I have questions about. Even people that I don't worship with on a regular basis. Relationships outside of this particular body. That's important that those relationships are made and developed and nurtured. Reuben. That's exactly right. And I believe that when we talk about the leaning on a friend, that's what that friend is going to do. They're going to redirect you and refocus you to those things. Paul told the Galatian brethren in Galatians 6 and verse 2 to bear one another's burdens. That's an obligation we have to one another. We've got to know one another in order to do that. And it's not just on me to know you, but it's on you to know me. It's a two-way street. And so we have to work for that, work toward that. And that's harder for some folks than it is for others. And so we have to bear that burden with them. Reuben again. Thank you, Reuben. The next point that I wanted to make was to learn to live one day at a time. And that really does hit home. When you read verses like Psalms 119 and 104, where it says, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my way. So I'm walking down this pathway of life. And what is a lamp? What kind of light is a lamp going to provide? It's going to provide the light for me to make that next step. It's not looking a year down the road. several weeks down the road. It's looking that next step. We need to make sure that the next step we take is the right step. And that each and every step needs to be right. It's about what's right in front of us. Not what might happen, what could happen. What's right in front of us. Jesus taught his disciples to give us this day our daily bread. It was a daily thing. We weren't asking for a freezer full of meat for the entire year. Give us this day our daily bread. And in Psalms 18, the writer states that this is the day which the Lord hath made. Live each day. This is a great day because this is a day that the Lord made, and he made it for me. And Lord willing, there's going to be one tomorrow. And you're going to live it to your fullest without any worry. You know, learning to be content. Learning to be content with what you have. Just be happy with what you have. And don't try to compete with the next door neighbors. Remember that we cannot control others. You know, you can only, we worry about things we can't control. And that'll wear you out. It'll kill you. Physically. Destroy your body. Worry. Stress. Worrying about things that you have no control over. You got to let that go. You got to learn to let that go. The day will take care of itself. And we have to just realize that there are just some things. Some things that are out of our control. So what do I do when I'm in that situation? I live right. I live like Christ would want me to live. Can't change things. You just got to live right. And sometimes that'll work out. I know it'll work out for me if I'm living right. Paul said in Acts 24, he says, I do my best to maintain always a blameless conscience before God and before men. You know, the King James Version says, I exercise myself always to have a conscience void of offense toward God and man. And that's how we have to live. Okay? And so with that, with the second bell, we'll dismiss at this time. And then on Sunday, we're going to take up the subject of covetousness. Thank you very much.